reach over your neighbor and go.
Okay, would you? Okay. Do that. There you go. Get everybody there. Nice and wonderful. Good deal. All right. You let me give you a little bit about what we're going to do this morning. I want to make sure that we stay on time. Pastor Ricky, you're recording this, aren't you?
Yes.
Ricky, I am your father.
Okay, now you got that. Okay. Anyway, we'll have fun this morning. It's really not preaching this morning, if you wouldn't mind. I'll do that tomorrow. So we'll preach tomorrow. This is basically getting you to understand that there are many methods and many ways to share the gospel. About 3 years ago, I came across a teaching called The Way of the Master. And you will hear that, see part of that today. I'll be using some of the clips from the teaching called Way of the Master so that you can see and understand where we're going today. Because it's one of the tools that we put in our tool belt. I have been through what we call, back in the Baptist world, 30 years ago, when I, or is it more than 30 years ago now? Gee, when? 33 years ago, when I was 18 years old, I went through my first WIN school. And I don't know if you remember WIN schools. Back in the Southern Baptist Convention, they came out with WIN school. Someone winning somebody to the Lord. And at 18, I had surrendered to the ministry and went to First Baptist Church of Pasadena. Pasadena, out there with those rednecks. And we learned about WIN schools. Our pastor was very, very strong in evangelism. He hired us ministerial boys, and that's what we were at the time, those that are enrolled in school, going to to train for the ministry. He hired us and paid us $1 an hour. And we had to go out 20 hours a week, get on the buses, go out, remember the bus ministries? We'd get out on the bus ministries, and we go knock on doors on Saturdays. Then we go pick them up on Sundays. And then we had to teach a Sunday school class on Sunday mornings and then get back on the bus and take them home. And we did all that kind of stuff during the week with ministerial training. So he taught us how to witness. He taught us how to use the WIN schools. Then from WIN schools, we had a Share Jesus Now. And then we did that kind of thing. Then we had a thing called CWT. Baptists are real big on, you know, the little acronyms, you know, the BSU and, you know, the WMU and all sorts of things. And so we had CWT, Continuous Witness Training. And that was in the 80s. And so we had that, so added that to the tool belt. Then we did the four spiritual laws, of course. And then the crusade stuff was really still big at that time. And you had Billy Graham's Peace with God. Then in seminary, we had to go through D. James Kennedy's book called Evangelism Explosion. We had to memorize that whole presentation. And so we've had, over the years, we've had all kinds of things that have happened. Friendship evangelism has come out. Coffee evangelism. Anything you can imagine, we call it, we do it. And the latest, I think, about a few years ago, was Sharing Jesus Without Fear. I don't know if you remember that. We are constantly coming up with something new. But one of the most effective things that I found in sharing, and I've added this to my tool belt, which I will hopefully share with you today and help you interact and get to know this thing, is called The Way of the Master. And it is a fantastic way. I never thought about it, but once it was explained to me, once I went through the course and understood it, I said, you know what? This is so good. Because it is a way that you will actually confront people with who they are. Now, one of the things I came across, and this may be something new to you, but I found George Barna is a man who does research through the Christian world and all sorts of things that go through Christendom. And he has a research institute. You can go on his site, barna.org. You can find out about the trends of kids. You can find out about the trends of Christians. You can find out about everything. And when I went there this week, one of the things I found was this, is that how many born-again Christians, what kind of people groups, believe it's their responsibility to share the gospel with their friends and their families and their co-workers. Here's an amazing thing I found out. Only 26% of the Asian population believe it's their responsibility to share Christ. Did y'all know that? It's amazing. The highest percentage, 49%, was among blacks. The next was among Anglos. The next was among Hispanics. And the Asians believe, you know, because 26% believe it's a responsibility, their responsibility to personally share Christ with people. And the reason being is because in your culture, you're very respectful. You've been very respectful to me, except for Pastor Ricky called me a redneck while ago. You've been very, very respectful. You don't want to offend. You don't want to confront. And so that's a fear for everyone. But undoubtedly, for the Asian group, it's also very, very, it's very, very fearful. So hopefully within the next few minutes, we're going to get you out of that. You know, and we're going to get you all loosened up, and we're going to have some good things, because we are going to interact with one another today. So if you don't want to interact, this is the best play time. Get up and go now. No, but it won't be bad. I promise you. Just stay with me, you know. It won't be bad. But we're going to get you to do some assignments today to get you up out of your seat and maybe do some things that are out of your comfort zone a little bit. So that's going to help you begin to share the gospel. So if you look at your paper, just real quickly, you have a foundational test. I want you to take that test, would you? Take that test on the very first one, session one. Take that with me. And we'll go over your answers in just a moment. Take about 2 or 3 minutes. You can even, if you're having a tough time on that first question, ask your neighbor. I do hope that you get the first one right, and it is not D. Everybody about finished with the test? The number 5? Anybody need more time? Okay. Slow back here in the back. Right. Let's go over this real quickly. All right? And let's ask some questions to get you talking this morning. I don't want to be the only one talking. Why did you come today? Anybody? Raise your hand. Tell me. Why did you come? Yes, ma'am.
Curiosity,
okay.
To learn more.
To learn more? What else?
To learn other ways to connect with others, to share the gospel, to bring them to eternal happiness.
Good. Anybody else? Husband made you get up? Wife made you get up? We're going to learn a little bit about evangelism. Number one, evangelism was created in the mind of who? And? All right, there's two answers. God the Father, Jesus the Son. The Father, the Son. Actually, there's a third person. And the who? Holy Spirit, right. Unitedly planned the salvation of sinners. So in that plan, God the Father was to send the Son into the world to redeem it. God the Son voluntarily came to the world in order to merit salvation by His obedience unto death. And the Holy Spirit was to apply salvation to the hearts of those who would believe and trust in Jesus Christ, instilling grace into them. So we understand that. Number two, evangelism means what? What'd you put? Which one was it?
Eve.
Well, why isn't it inviting people to church? Okay, go ahead. Someone holler it out. Why isn't it inviting people to church? Isn't that part of evangelism? Kind of, sort of? I can bring them to church? Well, what's the definition of evangelism then? Look at number E. I tell people about the good news of Jesus Christ. Evangel. Basically, you know what that word means? It's got a root word in there. Can you hear it? Evangel. Angel. You know, got that? Y'all got that? Okay? You've got, what does an angel do? He delivers messages. And so, evangelist or evangelism, you are delivering a message to someone else. It's in there. Now, while sharing the gospel, I must never use the words what? How about them rockets? All right. Okay. You can use the words sin and hell. You can use the words death and judgment. You can use the words repentance and confession. However, this is where we go off right now, okay? Is that the modern gospel, for some reason, during the turn of the century, all of a sudden, we stopped using those words. It was taken out of our gospel presentations. We started hearing something about God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. And when you get down to possibly the last part of that presentation, it says, all you have to do is turn from your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you never hear anything about death and hell. You don't hear anything about sin and judgment. You don't hear anything about those kind of things. And we're going to be talking about that today and letting our two teachers also, that you'll see on the video, talk about this today, of why those things need to be incorporated in doing evangelism. Now remember, this is just one tool. Some of you will say, there is no way that I'm going to witness like they tell me to witness. And that's okay, because there are several different ways to witness. This is just one way. But I have found it to be one of the most effective ways, because it actually confronts people with who they are. And when they finally realize who they are before a holy God, it brings about conviction, but that's another thing. But we'll talk about that. What happens is missing is, like, for example, John MacArthur. Y'all have heard of John MacArthur, the Bible teacher. He tells in one of his books that he was contacted by a radio station and said, we want to play your messages on our Christian radio station, but can you edit them, not to mention anything about sin, about the blood, about cross, and about repentance, because that is offensive to people. Of course, you know what he told them. No, thank you, but no thank you. Because what's happened is that people have taken that kind of thing away. They don't want to be offensive. In fact, in 2005, a popular preacher on Larry King Live did an interview, very popular preacher here in America, smiles a lot. Larry King asked him, says, you don't ever mention the word sin in your sermons. And he says, it has too much of a negative connotation to people because they already know they are sinners. Now here's the point, folks. We're going to find out that people really don't know that they are sinners, because they make things up in their mind as to what sin is. And we're going to find that out a little bit more today. He asked the question also of this. Do people, if they're Islam or Buddhist, according to your view, do they need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Here's his answer. I don't know. You can go to Larry King Live and click on it, and you can get it if you don't believe me. You can get the thing.
He says,
yeah, it's true. I don't know. He said, I mean, my dad and I traveled over to India, and we saw those people, and they really love God. So I'm not going to judge whether God is going to keep them out of heaven or not. I just know what for me is I believe in Jesus. But as far as them, I don't know. and I can't judge them. Now, folks, that's sad, because he's leading the quote-unquote America's largest church. And I'll guarantee you, okay, this, that over half the people that come to this church are lost. I guarantee it. Reason I say that is because we know from the scriptures who's going to be in churches. The angel's going to come at the end of the days, and it says they're going to come, and they're going to do what? They're going to remove, you know, the wheat from the tares, and they're still in our churches. And that's one of the things that we have to understand. I was witnessing last week to one of his members. Okay? And as I was witnessing to one of his members, she didn't have a clue, but she was a faithful member. She did not have a clue what it meant to receive Jesus Christ. She told me, she said, "I don't understand anything about this faith thing, but it's so neat to go to that church." Mm-hmm. Great. Wonderful. What's going to happen if you die and face eternity? I'll go to heaven. Why? Because I am, you know what she said? I'm good. So, folks, I'm trying to tell you something, is that there are a lot of people out there, and there may be even people within Chinese Baptist Church who have had what we call a false conversion because they were never confronted with who they were before a holy God. Because there's so many things as this. Hey, do you want to get saved? Well, yeah. Do you want to go to hell? No. Do you want to go to heaven? Yeah. Pray this prayer. And we tell them to pray this prayer, and we think we've given them a ticket to heaven, and they go, "Oh, I prayed that prayer." And yet they continue to live like they've always lived, and they've never had a change of heart. Here's the deal. I want you to write this down and keep it in your heart. You never can have an encounter with a holy God through Jesus Christ without coming away changed. Listen to me. You can never have an encounter with a holy God through Jesus Christ without coming away changed. You don't come to Him in the same way and say, "You want to receive Jesus as your Savior?" And you go, "Okie dokie," and then walk away the same way that you've had. True conversion means there will be repentance, there will be sorrow, there will be understanding of who you are before a holy God, and there will be an understanding of what Jesus did for you. And as you receive Him, your life will be changed. Let's move on to number 4. Done? True or false? God's purpose in saving us is to give us a wonderful plan for our lives. Okay. Yeah, sometimes not so wonderful, is it? Huh? How many of you believe... I'm going to get a bunch of you on trouble, okay? Here we go. How many of you believe... Husbands, you have your wives here. How many of you believe that God gave you your wife? How many believe that? Now, wives, I'm going to get you in trouble. Okay? How many of you believe He's really... all that wonderful? I know, that's right. He's a pretty good guy, but you know, there's sometimes you just roll over that in that morning, you look at that and go, "Oh my." And the same way. So sometimes things aren't so wonderful, and we're going to see this in just a moment. We're going to plug this video up, and we're going to show you a segment of what people think about the wonderful life when the two guys go out on the streets and they ask people in New York City, "What do you think a wonderful life is?" And they'll tell you from their perspective. And these are lost people who think about wonderful life. And you'll see that in just a moment. Number 5 says, we must tell people that Jesus is the answer to their unhappiness. We hear this all the time. We hear it all the time. It says something like this. You know what? If you just come to Jesus Christ, all your problems will be solved. You'll have peace and you'll have joy and you'll have all sorts of things and you'll be happy all the time. Happy, happy, happy. Look, let's say it together. Happy, happy, joy, joy. Happy, happy, joy, joy. Okay, right? Coming to Jesus and you're going to have happy, happy, joy, joy, right? Not all the time, folks. Not all the time. So, what we want to do is, Pastor Ricky, if you can scoot this over here, we're going to try to hook this up and get this going. We unplugged it, and I think I'm going to have to reset.
Actually, we'd rather run it off the computer if it's a DVD. No, but the sound, we don't hear the sound.
We can fix the sound.
Really?
Yes, that's why we were...
That's why I moved it?
Well, no, I moved it because we didn't know what we were using it. We needed to clear space.
Okay. So you want to run it off the... You want to run
we want to run it off the computer.
Okie dokie. That sounds good. Now I got to get all set up. So, here we go. Let's ask the questions just real quick. Let me see what you think about...
I don't want...
No, I take out the DVD. I need to take out the DVD.
Oh. Okay.
Think about that first question. Why do you think God has a wonderful plan for your life? Message could be misleading. Why do you think that could be?
Because non-Christians will think it's all fun and roses.
True. Non-Christians may think it's all fun and roses. That's great. Other thing.
Hey, Amen.
Excuse me? Yeah, isn't that fun? You know, one of the things I came across the other day and I was reading in my devotion was Proverbs. And in Proverbs it says, discipline is a way of life. I was just overjoyed when I heard that because there's another translation in Hebrews that says, trials are a way of life. Now, I was just ecstatic. How about you? When the Apostle Paul was knocked off his little donkey, and Jesus said, you will go preach to the Gentiles and you will be persecuted for my name. How do you think he felt? Was that it? No, not at all, you know. Jesus did not knock him off and say, hey, Paul, I've blinded you, but I've got a wonderful plan for your life. Not only are you going to be blinded, you're going to be stoned, you're going to be whipped, you're going to be dragged, you're going to be thrown into prison. And you're going to have a wonderful time serving me. Amen? Did Jesus do that? Not at all. So we have to understand that this wonderful life thing can be absolutely misleading. Miss May?
Yes, sir.
Oh. Why do birds say we're going to do the first one whenever it comes up. And we're going to... Can you do fast forward on that thing?
We'll see where we can pick it.
Okay.
So we can.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not reading a DVD. That's it? No.
Mm-hmm. Don't you love technology? Mm-hmm. I like it. There it is.
Which one would you like?
That one right there. Exposing the myth of the modern message. Okay. But I don't want to play all of it. Okay,
that's fine.
Okay.
And the song?
Go forward.
Let me turn up the sound.
When he finishes, go ahead and stop it.
Oh, it's
right there.
Right there?
Right there. That's it. Perfect. Right there. Come here. Right there. Go back. I love this. It's fun. That is Kirk Cameron. You remember him?
Yes.
Okay. He's a fantastic Christian witness to the Lord. So it's just wonderful. Good.
Love. Start it again. Now, aren't we getting any sound?
Mm-hmm. It'll be right there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to start singing and dancing in a minute, you know, at the time.
There we go.
We may need to put it back in our little machine here. Would that help?
It's got it.
Can y'all hear that at all? Okay, we need to run it back now. We'll see that Jesus openly spoke about. Right there. Can we get it higher at all?
That's Johnson.
Johnson, can we get that higher at all? Would y'all mind if we just put it on this other thing in here?
God has given us medicine that cures death itself.
That's really hard to hear. Can we use this over here so they can hear it? Without that.
I don't like that projector.
But it worked great a while ago.
If y'all want.
Huh?
If y'all want, it's just usually easier to use this one. But if that's what y'all want, we'll switch it over.
Yeah, let's switch it over so y'all can, yeah, they can hear it. That'd be great.
Well, how did y'all have the sound connected on that one?
It was just out of this thing. They had it turned up real loud. Everybody can hear it.
There's a speaker. Sorry about that, because
of sound. Y'all might have to get where you can see.
You were showing another clip in the afternoon, right?
Yeah. Okay. Next session, yes. Thank you for your help.